Thus far, and I thank God for the good words that have been spoken and the sweet prayer that's been offered. And I love you, each and every one of you, and thank God for you. In the writings of the Apostle Paul unto the brethren at Thessalonians, in chapter 3, he says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." And as Brother Jimmy was talking, I thought about this verse and was on my mind a little bit anyway. He says, "Brethren, pray for us." And I surely feel the need of that tonight. Not only for me as I stand before you, but for every minister of the gospel that comes before you. You pray, this is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. You pray for God's ministers. And there's a specific petition that he asked for here. And that is that the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is the word of God, the testimony of God, the preaching of the gospel. As a man comes before God's children and preaches the word, he preaches the scripture. He preaches Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And His desire is that the word of the Lord may have free course. That the word of the Lord may have free course. That word really means that it may run. Oh, it's good when the word runs, isn't it? When the preaching runs, when the preaching flows, when the preaching is clear and plain and spirit-filled, and it's honoring to God and glorifying to God, and it feeds you like nothing in this world can feed you. We're in a world that, as Brother Jimmy has already mentioned, that we can get so wrapped up in the things of the world. We need God's Word to instruct us. We need the Bible, the Scripture. And not just the Bible and the Scripture, but the Holy Spirit to open up our understanding to this of the Scripture and open up our appetite, and that the word of the Lord may have free course, that it may run, and that the word would be glorified. And that word glorified means to be honored, that His word would be honored, and that His word would be highly esteemed. I think of what Peter said, that we're to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. Now, it's only little babes in Christ that can do that, only God's children. We can't make people God's children. Thankfully, we don't have to. The Lord will quicken each and every one of His children at His appointed time. He'll bring them out of nature's darkness unto His marvelous light, and bring them out of the darkness of this world and translate them into His kingdom, and work a work in their hearts that only God can do. But when the Lord has done that, it's important that the gospel is declared so that those of God's little children might hear and see and understand how great things the Lord has done for them, so that they might be about what the Father made them to do, and that is to praise Him. You can't praise Him unless you know about Him. You can't lift up your voice in agreement to the gospel if you don't understand the gospel. If you can't, and I can't make you hear the gospel, but if you get, the Lord's given you ears to hear and an eye to see and a heart to understand, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can preach the word, as the Apostle Paul said to the Roman brethren. He says, "My heart," he said, "that I, as much as in me is, I'm ready to declare the gospel unto you that be in Rome also." And he prayed that the children of God among the Israelites, that they might see this and understand this and embrace it. And here he's asking them to pray, and to pray for us, the ministers, and pray for them in particular, that the word of the Lord, that is God's word that he's given unto us to preach, that he's given to us in the scripture, in this more sure word of prophecy, that it might run free and that it might be honored and highly esteemed, that he might be glorified just like it is with you. In other words, that it'll be held by those of God's little children out there in the world just like it is with God's little children that have gathered in here. I believe you're here tonight because you've been blessed to be thankful for the Word of God and the truth that the Lord has given you, and you're hungry for it. You want to know more about it. You want to learn more about it. You pray that the preacher would be able to be blessed, not just so that he would feel good, oh, I hope he feels good, but more importantly, that he would reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long-suffering, that is, in the love of God and doctrine, and it did. It would not just be a speech that he made, but that he might deliver in power and in demonstration of the Spirit the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and how great things that he has done for us. Somebody said, well, that's just easy to do. I'll tell you what, if we don't have the Lord tonight, this will be a cold meeting. Amen. I could preach, and if the Lord doesn't bless you to hear, you won't get anything out of what I preach. And I won't be able to preach unless the Lord gives it to me. As much as I might have studied, and I do need to study, I need the blessing of Almighty God to be able to rightly divide the word of truth, and then for it to be delivered in power where it would have meaning for you. Not just so it would stir your intellect. You see, we could come with a lot of speeches and a lot of good ideas and thoughts and make a whole house full of Pharisees. Make a whole house full of those who feel to be better than other people. But I tell you, our hearts can't be broken unless the Lord breaks them. Unless the Lord allows us to really see how great things that he's done for you. And then we're really impacted by the word of God and the teachings of God's word. And it runs free course and it's glorified even as it is with you. And then he says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Now, that's an interesting thing with the idea in the world that you can just preach truth into everybody. And all we have to do is just go out and preach it. And if we preach it, then that preaching of the word, that the word itself is going to make children of God, that the word itself is going to give them faith, or the word itself is going to give them life, or that the word is what quickens. The word quickens, all right, but that is the living word. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're given that in John 5:25. The hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, that's the living word of God, and they that hear shall live. But the preaching word is for those who've been made alive. And here the Apostle Paul himself asked to be delivered from those that are not born of the Spirit of God, that don't have an ear to hear it, an eye to see it, and a heart to understand it. Now notice, he didn't say, I can tell who they are and I can identify them, and therefore, no, he went out and preached, as the scripture says, we're to preach to every creature. We're to preach to those that come in our congregation. We're to share this good news. We can't judge men on the outside and say, okay, I see they are unreasonable and wicked, but we know this. Doesn't the Lord know who his children are? Amen. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. So my prayer, and I believe our prayer ought to be, Lord, help me to be faithful to preach this truth wherever thou would open the door and allow me to have liberty, whether it's to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the barbarians or to the circumcision or to the uncircumcision. Wherever you have given an ear to hear and an eye to see and a heart to understand, Lord, bless me. Deliver me from wicked and unreasonable men. And who is he talking about? He says, for all men have not faith. Now, who is it that has faith and who is it that does not have faith? Well, those that are not born of the Spirit do not have faith to operate with. Some people say, well, you can preach to them, and in preaching to them, you'll give them faith, and they misuse the text that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's laid out in God's Word, but what that's talking about is the body of truth that we get, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, which means when we preach the truth, we can share this body of truth. Aren't you glad someone along the way preached to you or talked to you and delivered to you the faith that was once delivered to the saints? And that faith was picked up by the faith that you were given in the new birth. You see, when you were born again, you were given the gift of faith whereby you cried, Abba, Father. You received the spirit of adoption whereby you cried, Abba, Father, and you had the gift of faith. We are before by grace, or you say through faith, and get this, and that not of yourselves, it is what? It is the gift of God. And the reason God did it that way, first of all, God did it that way because He wanted to do it that way, and it was the right way to do it, because that's who our God is. He does what He pleases among the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. And there's none that can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? And everything that He did is holy and righteous. If He'd have done it another way, it would have been wrong. God did it His way, which His ways and His thoughts are as high above our ways and thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. And therefore, when He gave life, He didn't say, preacher, you go preach to them and they'll get life. No, He said, He sent the Holy Spirit into the hearts, and the Son of God speaks to those that are dead, and they hear the voice of the Son of God. Just like in John chapter 11, He stood at the tomb of Lazarus, and He didn't say, Lazarus, please take one step out and I'll meet you halfway and we'll get you out of that grave. No, He cried with the voice that said in the beginning, let there be light, and the light came on. When He said, when He made this world, He created it. What He said to Lazarus, He said, Lazarus, come forth. He called him by name and He said, Lazarus, come forth. You know why He said that to Lazarus? Because He wanted to show that, and he showed us the power that life was in Him. In the beginning, as we've often quoted, it was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The reason we're here naturally is because the One who has life gave us life. He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life, and we became a living soul. And that's how we have natural life. And the way we have spiritual life is not through the preaching of the gospel or the receiving or the believing of the gospel. It's the way we have life is when He speaks to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He can do that, and He does do that the same way for every one of His children. There's one way of salvation. There's not a way for babies, and another way for teenagers, and another way for older folks, and another way for men, and another way for women. There's not other ways. Some people say, well, Jesus is a way. No, He's not a way. He's the way. And there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, whatever phase of salvation you want to talk about, whether it's the eternal phase, whether it's the vital phase, the life-giving phase, or whether it's the gospel and practical phase, or whether it's the phase in which he glorifies us and carries us out of this world, or whether it's the legal phase and the way that He purchased us and bought us with His own blood, all of it comes through and by the cross. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That means every blessing you and I get came to us through and by Him. Y'all believe that tonight? Isn't it good that we can believe that we have a Savior who was really a Savior, and that we can declare that? We can say that. And though we hear it so many times, we desire tonight, I desire it, I believe you desire it, that that message might flow. It'll flow in our singing. It'll flow in our walk. It'll flow in our talk. It'll flow in the preaching. It'll might, that it might have free course. Sometimes I feel that we don't have free course because we haven't prayed. We have not because we ask not. And when we need preachers, we need to get on our knees and ask the Lord to send us preachers. When you need laborers, and not all laboring is done by the preacher. Laborers come in all different types. There's all kinds of laborers. God's children in His church, each one of them have a calling. Each one of them have an obligation. Not all of them are called to preach. Not all of them are called to do the various things that He has in His church to be done. But He prepares them with what gift they need, and the talent and the abilities that they're given are taught to us in the parable of the talents. Whatever it is, whether it's a one talent or a five talent or a two talent, what He asks of us is not to make more out of it than we've been given, but to use what you've been given to the honor and the glory of God. And part of that is to pray, God, give us, let it be done in free course. Lord, let it run. Let it be that which glorifies and honors Thee. And Lord, may we be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. Well, who is it that has faith? His children. Which of His children? All of them that are born of the Spirit. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What would this world be like if there was no fruit of the Spirit? I'll tell you, you think we're living in tough times and difficult times. If there wasn't among the people of this world, God's little children that He reached and that He touched and He worked in their hearts and gave them faith and gave them love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, what a horrible place this planet would be. All we would see is Romans 3 and everybody you ever met. Thanks be to God, because of His grace, because of His power, and because of His might, each and every one of His children that He foreknew will be effectually called, and in that calling they receive the adoption, they're born of the Spirit, and they receive that wonderful gift of adoption, whereby a part of the Lord Jesus Christ, a part of God is put in them. They're born of what kind of seed? An incorruptible seed. An imperishable seed. When God does that work, if it's in a little baby, that little baby will be alive spiritually all of its life. And you can't lose that life. You didn't do anything to get it. You can't do anything to lose it. You're born of God. And those that are born again will at some point show and bear some fruit. Not all bear the same amount of fruit. That's why we want God's little children, and we labor for God's little children to be fruit bearers. I want you to be bearing a lot of fruit. Now, how do we bear fruit in this world? We get close, we stay in the vine, don't we? If you abide in the vine, it's God's good pleasure when we abide in the vine. And what pleases God is when His children bring forth fruit. God wants us to be filled with love tonight. God wants us to be filled with joy tonight. God, and I say wants, God has commanded. I don't like to use the word want with God, because God commands. And it stands fast. And God gives us commandments to keep. And as we walk in those commandments, He says we'll bring forth much fruit. And that fruit is love and joy and peace. That's what God's little children need in their life. They need love. They need joy. They need peace. They need long-suffering, where they're taught to be like our Savior was. You want to see the fruit? You look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. See the love that flowed from Jesus. When He reached out to that leper and He says, I will be thy clean. And he was clean. When he reached down and let a little Mary sit at His feet while He preached the word to her. And she hungrily sat at His feet. While there was a Martha who was so busy trying to do all she was doing and upset about it. And He didn't just throw her away, but he taught her how Mary had chosen this good part that will not be taken from her. And that we might learn, listen, there's a lot of Martha in us. There's some Mary in us. And may the Lord bless us to be at His feet and listening to His word. not be so full of care and worried about things. They are troubled and careful about many things. Does that sound like anybody you know? Absolutely. Listen, the love of God was shown to us before the very foundation of the world. The Lord hath of old appeared unto me. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea. Again, he didn't say yea and nay. He said, yea, I have loved thee. That's his love. When? With an everlasting love. And therefore, when you're running away and going the other course, I'm going to, with loving kindness, chasten you. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to show thee that I love thee. And I love thee because thou art mine. And that thou art mine not because you chose me, but because I chose you. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from that love of God, which is eternal. As long as God has been God, he had a love for his people. I can't get my head wrapped around that, but I know that's true. And as long as God will ever be God, and he is from everlasting to everlasting, he will love his children. You love your children? Not nearly as much as he loves his. What would you do for your children? I'm going to tell you that what the Lord will do, he'll come to their defense. He'll watch over them with a staff that'll drive the wolf away. He'll lead them and guide them and correct them. He would have us tonight by his commandments to be at his feet as little babes, hungering and desiring. And when we come and meet, as Brother Jimmy said, he is pleased when the prayers of God's children go up as a sweet smelling aroma into heaven. And when the songs of God's children are heard in the ears of the Lord through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, may the word of God have free course. May it not just be in the confines of this little building. May it reach out into Front Royal in this community and touch those little brothers and sisters that are out there that God has quickened and made alive. And may we be willing to share with our walk and with our talk and with our life. May we be the salt of the earth and the light of the world and walk in a way to honor and glorify him. Amen. And if everybody looks at us like we're foolish, then so be it. May the Lord help us not to be concerned about that. We've got a lot in us that can hinder us, don't we? But I believe we've got a God big enough that can help us, don't you? Amen. He can help us in our family. He can help us in this little church. I can't, listen, if I could do it, I'd have the benches filled tonight. If I could do it, I can't do it. I know what I can do. You know what I can do? What God gives me the ability to do. Well, you know what he can do? Whatever he pleases. And so where would you rather trust tonight? In someone who can't do anything he wants to get done? That's you, and it's me. Or someone who can do whatever he pleases and whatever he pleases, unlike what Gary sometimes pleases. Sometimes I want to do things that don't even need to be done, that should not be done. And sometimes he suffers me to do that in order that he might teach me. But you know how he does it? With loving kindness. He's drawn me. The one who began a work in me will perform it, will complete it, and finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. I believe this needs to be preached. Y'all say we've heard this before. You need to hear it again. We need to be excited about it. We need to be revived by it. And I don't think anything else revives you. Somebody might say, well, if we could just get it a little more formal and a little more systematic and a little more precise and a little more correct. And we get it laid out just this way, we'd get it a whole lot better. The natural man would get it a lot better, but I'm telling you what that makes. It makes Pharisees. It makes us feel like I'm just a little smarter, a little better, a little more knowledgeable than somebody else. And I'll tell you, old Baptists are just as ugly as anybody else when they act that way. I hope that's not too plain, but it's the truth. I'm telling you, when we see folks in the religious world who think they've got it all and know it all, we see the Pharisee in them. I'm telling you, when we are that way, when we act that way, when our house of worship becomes that way, where we're not accepting and we're not open, I'm not talking about to all ideas and thoughts, but I'm saying we ought to be humble before Almighty God and recognize he's given us the truth, and it ought to cause us to want to help others of God's little children that may be stumbling all over themselves in their word and in their deeds and in their practice. Their life might not, they might be like a little Mary who had seven devils cast out of her. They might like be like a wild Gadarene who went about trying to molest and trouble everybody who came his way. They might be like an Apostle Paul, a persecuting Saul, who do everything he could to try to destroy the name of Jesus. But I'm telling you, when the Lord touches a heart, he didn't have any trouble driving those demons away. He took those out of Mary with no problem. He took that wild Gadarene, and when he was finished with him, he was clothed, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, and he was in his right mind. Y'all think he can take a mind that's all messed up and make it right? I do. Even when I still get confused, I still get full of fear, and I still get full of doubts, the Lord's still working on us, isn't he? He's still there. And may you and I please just be at his feet, like little Sister Mary, choosing that good part, which the Bible says shall not be taken away. He says that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And get this verse, because it's good. As if I couldn't say that about every verse in the Bible. But isn't it good when he really shows you it's good? Isn't it good? It's already good. But when he shines a light on it, he says, but the Lord is faithful. I want to say that to you tonight. I'm going to close with that. The Lord is faithful. The Lord keeps his word. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, to the glory of God in us. What does that mean? That we're going to be something? No. He's going to be everything. That we honor him and we esteem him and we remember that every promise that he has made to us, he will keep. He says, the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. We're in a world full of evil. We're in a world full of trouble. We're in a world full of problems. How are we going to make it? How are we going to make it with these changing times? How are we going to make it with all that we face? Listen, we can look down through the history of God's little children in the Bible and in historical records. And you can see God's little children have gone through periods of tribulation again and again, down through time. I was thinking the other night how it must have been here at this little church, wherever they were meeting at the time. During the Civil War, where they couldn't meet for 4 years. How that must have been. War around them. Their membership, many of them, involved in the very battle. In the very trouble. The place that they found comfort, their lives. The doors were shut so they couldn't enter in. Couldn't gather in an assembly for 4 long years. How that must have been. You know, they were sitting there thinking, like we think, he's got to be coming. Can you hear him? The devil has to be loose for a little season. He's got to be right here. He's got to be coming. Can't be long. And here we are in 2025, and that was in 1860s. And here it is, 2025, in this little church in a different location. But the church is still here. And sometimes we look and say, it can't be long. And indeed it might not be. And it's a good way to live, saying it can't be long. Because I'm telling you, one day he's coming. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. And when he comes, every eye shall see him. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God and of the Father. And he won't come in and secretly rapture somebody away, but he'll come and all of us will behold him. It'll be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. And we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord. And it'll happen in a twinkling of an eye. And this old world is going to melt with the fervent heat. And we're going home to be with the Lord. And we've got a place, a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness and nothing but righteousness. That don't sound too bad, does it? Oh, so shall we ever be with the Lord. God's ministers have been preaching that a long time. And we're still waiting, but we're waiting, aren't we? He's coming. What a day that will be. Until that time, may the word of the Lord have free course. Let's pray. Lord, help our preachers preach. Help those of God's little children believe it. And then may we take that candle and that light He's given us and not put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick so that it may shine out in the house. May the aroma be smelled all over this house, and may it flow out the door so others might see it and hear it. Who? Those who've been given a sniffer or an eye to see it or an ear to hear it. That sniffer sounds like one of Daddy's words. I'll just share that with you. Someone is, so that he'll be able to smell and understand and what? Taste that the Lord is gracious. Have you tasted that He's gracious? Sure has been good to me. He's been good to us together. I love you, brothers. I love and I'm thankful for your filling the seats. Some difficult times. We've been through funerals together, but the Lord was with us. We've been through some heartache together, but the Lord was with us. Some sad times, some difficult times, sometimes it would break your heart, but He was there with us. Even where we were so far away from Him, we'd think, why didn't He just kick us to the curb? He has not. Tonight He's drawn us together for one more time here in this world. And I'm telling you, God's faithful. We know it from the Word of God. And never mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
Amen.